Chapter 8. We had a couple of practices before Christmas and then a few days break before the tournament started. Dad was off and Angie home from university with a never-ending supply of stories. She and Lee spent hours bustling about the kitchen and chatting. Dad and I went skiing, tobogganing, and we all went to the wave pool. I phoned Ryan a few times, but he declined my invites. I got the feeling that he wasn't keen to leave his dad alone. Lee's asked if I'd like to invite Ryan and Mr. Davis around for Christmas dinner, but I knew they'd already accepted another invitation. Dad and I hadn't done any shopping and finally headed out on December 23rd, one day earlier than usual. I picked out a new rucksack for Angie and a wild patchwork sweatshirt for Lee's. Angie and I had gone in together on a pair of binoculars for Dad. "All done?" Dad asked, staggering towards the spot where we'd agreed to meet. "Yeah, have you ever seen so many people in your life?" He laughed. "Did you get what you wanted for everyone?" "I think so." He stopped walking and looked serious for a minute. "Did you pick up a little something for Ryan?" His question caught me off guard. Normally, Ryan and I never exchanged gifts. "No, I didn't," I said, "but I'd like to." "We'll get something on our way out," Dad replied, ruffling my hair with a proud look in his eyes. We stopped at the mega sports store in the mall, and I bought Ryan a Penguins cap. He collected them, and I knew he didn't have that one. The next day was Christmas Eve, and the day we trimmed the tree. Dad had his own traditions. The tree couldn't be decorated before mid-afternoon so that when the lights were turned on, it would be dark outside. It had to be done while singing Christmas carols, and we always picked numbers to see who put the star on the top. Lee's was off to do the final grocery shop in the morning, and Angie had offered to go along. Dad and I were wrapping presents while Bing Crosby belted out Christmas carols on the stereo. I had just wrapped Ryan's cap and was thinking about zipping over to see him when there was a knock on the door. Ryan stood in the doorway, a package in his hand. Merry Christmas, Switson. I took the gift as Dad came to the door behind me. "Ryan," he called, "is your dad with you?" Ryan jerked his head towards the driveway as I went to fetch my present. Dad jammed his feet into his shoes and disappeared outside. In a few minutes, he was back with Mr. Davis. "Come on in. It's just us guys today. We were wrapping our last few gifts and thinking about having a drink. This is the perfect excuse." Mr. Davis stepped into the house. His face was hollow and drawn, his eyes sunken, and he looked noticeably thinner. Dad poured a beer for each of them and put out a plate of Christmas baking. I grabbed a few Cokes for Ryan and me, and we sat down in the family room. It didn't take me long to realize how talented my father was when it came to putting people at ease. In just a few minutes, Mr. Davis had relaxed, and he and Dad were swapping stories. The talk soon turned to hockey and the Falcons' chances of winning the Christmas tournament. By the time Lee's and Angie got back with the groceries, both Dad and Mr. Davis had had another drink and we were all in the midst of hockey talk, the board game my mother had sent me for Christmas last year. Lee's put lunch on the table and set two extra plates and called us all. Mr. Davis started to protest, but was easily persuaded to stay. I don't think he'd felt so relaxed in a long time. But as we cleared away the dishes, I could feel reality starting to creep back in. Mr. Davis checked his watch and announced that they should probably head off to the hospital. Dad made a few general inquiries about Ryan's mom. There was no way of deceiving reality in the long run, but the afternoon had been a much-needed escape. I handed Ryan the gift I had bought him. "Merry Christmas, Rye." We stood silently at the front window as they drove off. That evening, after Angie had put the star on the top, we sat around the Christmas tree watching the lights blink on and off. Every so often, Lise got up to move a decoration from one spot to another. She was wearing her reindeer dress, but it didn't bother me as much this year. Besides, Rudolph's nose matched her red bangs. "It's been a great Christmas Eve," she said, sinking back onto the couch. Dad agreed, his arm around the back of Lise's shoulders. "Yeah, it was nice having John and Ryan here this afternoon." He paused. "But it's even nicer having all of us here now." I thought about what Dad hadn't said. "Is Mrs. Davis going to be all right this time?" asked Angie, staring at the tree. "I don't know for sure," I replied. "They managed to get the drug out of her system, but that's not the real problem, is it?" Dad sat up. "No, it's not, Joel. So often there's a psychological motivation associated with drugs, even over-the-counter drugs." "We were just studying that in biology," said Angie. I cringed and glanced quickly at Lee's. She caught my eye but said nothing. "Mr. Winter said something like that, too," I added. Lee's eyed me again, and I swallowed hard. Yes, sir, said Dad, stretching. Drugs, no matter how harmless they may seem, are nothing to fool around with. He stood up. Who wants popcorn? Angie jumped up and raced into the kitchen after Dad, while Lisa and I sat for a moment longer.
I know, I whispered before she could say anything.
She moved over to sit beside me. You know, she said, after Christmas comes New Year's, and New Year's is always a good time to make a resolution. You know, set yourself a goal, maybe with a specific time limit. I nodded.
Okay, I muttered, walking away. After all, it was Christmas, and Lise didn't have to go ruining the end of this year with thoughts of the next one.
Christmas came early. Mom forgot about the time difference and called at 6:45 in the morning. She woke everyone up, so we all headed down to the tree like we'd done years ago as children. Angie loved her rucksack and admitted that she'd almost bought the identical one while she was Christmas shopping. While Dad tried out his binoculars, Lise pulled on her sweatshirt. It looked good on her. Dad and Lise had bought me a high-tech compact stereo for my room, and Angie had picked out a few of my favorite CDs. Angie dug Ryan's gifts to me out from behind the tree, and everyone watched as I opened it. It was a new Calgary Flames cap. Mine had gone missing from my gym locker last month. I wondered how Ryan's Christmas morning had gone. We had brunch and then went for a walk with Jasper, who couldn't figure out why everyone's pockets were so full of treats. It was snowing, big, soft snowflakes that danced their way to earth, and by the time we'd returned, we were all singing, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas," which was absurd, since there was at least 20 centimeters of snow on the ground already. The house smelt of turkey and salmon by the time we got back, Dad's tradition and Lisa's tradition. And more food for everyone. After dinner and pudding, we all cleaned up and then collapsed around the television. Angie was already making noises about a championship game of something or other, but I was too stuffed. Dad turned on a Christmas movie, and I stretched out in his recliner rocker. I watched for a while and then excused myself to phone Ryan. In one way, I didn't want to make that phone call. I didn't want to know what I already knew, that his Christmas had been a sad, forced one. And yet, I couldn't help thinking about what Mr. Winter had said. There was no answer for the first time, so I left a message thanking him for my cap. Ryan called back just before I went to bed. "Hey, Joe, where'd you ever get the idea to buy me a penguin's cap?" I laughed. "Same place you did, I suppose." "Did you get some nice stuff?" "Dad and Lee's got me this incredible stereo. You've got to come over and hear it." I cranked up the volume and held the receiver up to a speaker. "Wow, I don't even have to come over to hear it," he laughed. "What did Valerie get you?" "Very funny," I said. "I think you can write Valerie out of my life, especially as I didn't show up at the dance." I hadn't talked to Ryan about Valerie lately, and I had no desire to try to explain things to her. With all the other things happening, it didn't seem very important. I thought she was going to the dance with Corey. "She turned him down." Ryan let out a long breath. I sort of said I'd see her there, but then I didn't make it.
"Damn, Joel, you should have left."
"Don't be an idiot." "Didn't you see her the last day of school?" asked Ryan. "No," I said slowly. I didn't want to tell him about Mr. Winter's conversation with me. "But hey, she's just a girl, right?" Ryan chuckled. "Yeah, right." I changed the subject before he could go on. I didn't want to think about her anyway. "So, how about you? Did you get some nice stuff for Christmas?" "Yeah, I got some nice things," he paused, "including 2 tickets to a Flames game. Dad figured maybe I could find someone to go with me."
"Awesome.
It's on January 12th, so don't forget." I wasn't about to forget. I took a deep breath, wondering whether I should ask the obvious question or not. Mr. Winter's words kept ringing in my ears, and I did in the end.
"Did you visit your mom today?"
At first, Ryan didn't answer, and I wondered if maybe I shouldn't have said anything.
"Yeah, we did," he said finally. "Dad and I went up before supper."
I fought the urge to say something trivial and move on to another subject. Instead, I waited. She didn't talk to us, but the nurse said she seemed a little better today.
"That's good news."
"And maybe it was just my imagination, Joel, but I think she was better today." His voice was pensive. Once Dad was talking to her, telling her about my face when I saw the tickets, she turned her head and looked at me. She didn't smile or anything, but just for a second, her eyes didn't look so blank, you know? I didn't know. I didn't know, and I couldn't even imagine. Dad didn't notice anything different, but I did. It was strange. I nodded at the other end of the phone. The whole thing was strange, but I certainly wasn't about to tell Ryan that. "Anyway," he said, the whole thing's strange. Maybe we were more alike than I figured. I took a deep breath.
How was the day, you know, Christmas? He didn't say anything right away. The morning was all right, I guess. I mean, it was just Dad and me. We put up the tree the other day and all, but it wasn't the same. Last year, Mom wasn't too bad at Christmas, you remember, and Gran and Gramps were here, so I guess this year was a little tough because of all of that. His voice trailed off. It sucked, Joel. Jeez, Ryan. I knew it would. When I woke up, I just stayed in bed and pretended I was asleep. He sighed. Dad finally came in at 10:30. He tried hard, but it was bad. I thought about our Christmas morning, the sound of paper crinkling, the exclamations of surprise, and the rippling of laughter. I'm sorry, Ryan. Yeah, came the honest response. I know. How's your dad holding up? Okay, I guess. He's got a few days off during the tournament. He can take us to some of the games. Great, I said. Are you going to skate tomorrow? I haven't been on the ice for 4 days. I think I'll forget how if I don't go soon. I didn't think Ryan would ever forget how to skate, but I arranged to meet him at the rink at 1 o'clock the next day. I was starting to feel a little rusty myself, and our first game was on the 27th.